This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. In a moment, I hope, I expect we'll be speaking with Anna Brown. Anna is the CEO of Equality Australia, and there's this issue, which I must admit has been a little bit below my radar, Toby.
Mm-hmm.
The campaign to remove gay cure texts, and cure in inverted commas, from bookshops.
Yeah, that's right. I think Angus and Robertson's just apologised for actually continuing to list those books. But I've got I think the Human Rights Law Centre and Anna and the Equality Campaign have done some really great work in this space in terms of pushing back on conversion therapy.
Mm.
And there is, like, this tricky balancing act, obviously, sometimes where you don't want to censor people's legitimate points of view and free speech around things, but simultaneously books that masquerade as pseudoscience and cause deep psychological damage to people who are kind of trying to reconcile their faith and sexuality. I mean, I really think there is a strong ethical obligation on the part of bookshops like Angus and Robertson and those kinds of organisations to
do
that.
But also, you know, and we'll ask Anna, I'm interested in whether or not this campaign is going to another area. We've got Anna Brown on the phone. Good morning, Anna. It's Macca, and Toby Halligan's with me.
Hi, Macca. Hi, Toby.
Hello, Anna.
So I have a question, Anna. First off, you know, the campaign, I think this is a great campaign, and it's something a lot of people probably think, oh, why are you doing that? Well, it's actually about, you know, it's about not allowing this sort of hateful material, you know, to be out there, but and in bookshops. And I believe Angus and Robertson have recently taken some moves on this. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, Dimmicks as well now.
Oh, and so, Dimmicks, right.
Yeah, so what's good is that they've responded to the concerns from the community. I think it's not even that they're on their bookshelves. It's on their bookshelves, but also that it's in the medical section of these bookshelves. So these quite substantial textbooks that are there for parents and other people with gay people in their lives, or indeed gay or trans people or bisexual people themselves, to pick up and learn about how they can cure themselves, which we know that major medical institutions and experts say it doesn't work, and it's incredibly damaging to tell LGBT people that something inherent to who they are makes them sick or broken and can be cured.
I should acknowledge as well that I've actually been lucky enough to do some work with you in the Human Rights Law Centre in this space, making some video content around gay conversion therapy. And I remember from a report that you put out called Brave Not Broken, one of the most damaging parts of the culture around this is actually the just repetition of someone being told that they are broken, that they are damaged. And then that can often come from people who really are trying to help them. And that seems, you know, odd to people who say are not of faith, if you like. But people like parents say, or relatives of, you know, an LGBTI person who's part of a church who are trying to work out how to approach this, like, they're the kinds of people who might read a book like this, and as you say, it's in the medical section, get, you know, some just deeply distorted views about, you know, about every element of this issue, and that's kind of partly why it's so toxic and dangerous.
Absolutely, and it's the sort of messaging that is getting out to people in faith communities and parents, and leaders within these communities that actually is the start of the harm. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, exorcisms and the more, let's say, dramatic forms of conversion therapy that are often portrayed in popular culture. But it actually all starts with the message that something about you is broken, is sick, and can be cured. And it's young people being surrounded by these sorts of messages and then reinforced with medical texts, so-called experts saying that this is something that can be cured. And you can see how being surrounded by all of that material and having access to it can be just so harmful, which is why in our report that you mentioned, Toby, we recommended that any material of this kind should be classified by the government and restricted, particularly from children. But in the meantime, there are steps that businesses like Angus and Robinson, Dimex, and indeed Amazon can take to make sure that they're doing the right thing to protect young people and kids.
So that was going to be my next question, Anna, is that online, it's great that, you know, the physical bookstores, Angus and Robertson and Dimex, who also have an online presence, but you mentioned there Amazon, but, you know, there's others, which I'm not going to give them a free plug, but, you know, how do we deal with that? Because, you know, if they're selling a huge number of books, which they are, but if they're still listing these books for sale, or they're not restricting their sale, then that's an avenue that, you know, it's still going to be able to cause harm, isn't it?
Absolutely. So we do need further action on this. We'll be talking to booksellers along with survivors of conversion therapy to make sure the message gets out there more broadly, and indeed taking this issue up with the government to make sure there's appropriate guidelines and classifications, because it's one area where there is a need and a usefulness around regulation. Even if there's bookstores out there that might be still willing to sell it, and we hope that there's not, that the fact that you can have appropriate warnings and classification at least goes some way to warning parents and warning audiences that this material is not only discredited but actually really harmful.
And look, Anna, I don't want to take you off track in terms of these books. When it comes to kids as well, like given we're talking about big online companies, with companies like YouTube as well, some research for The Informer looking into the way their algorithms tend to direct people to conspiratorial content, whether it's climate change, whether it's US politics. It really doesn't matter where, like the topic you pick, it takes people to, you know, and this includes kids, obviously, like teenagers, etc., who are searching this kind of content online. It is pretty easy to get into some pretty hateful spaces, completely accidentally, because
really
the video...
dark material.
Because of the content YouTube recommends people watch next. And look, that's a very large, you know, debate to be had. But, that seems like a space where we've got to begin, you know, talking to those companies about the impact that it's having.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you say, it's a much bigger conversation with, you know, big tech, big data companies like Google, like Facebook and others. And my hope is that there's US-based LGBT groups that are doing this work. But certainly as a global movement, we all need to be vigilant. And there's a place for conversations, you know, with government in Australia to see what they can do as well.
We just had, there's a couple of messages from listeners. I know the answer to this first one. It is... Greg, a regular listener, wanted to know, excuse me, whether there will be disability access to the conference venue, Williamstown Town Hall, for the Better Together conference in 2020. The answer, Greg, is yes, there is. Anna, just quickly before we go, religious freedom legislation in Canberra, how are those discussions going with the government?
Yeah, so I mean, people will have read some of the comments by the Attorney General Christian Porter. He's been at pains to say this will be an orthodox piece of legislation, and if it is, I think our concerns should be allayed. And you know, there is a case for protecting people of faith and all belief systems from discrimination. But I think we need to be watching and monitoring very closely to make sure the bill doesn't contain US-style freedom of religion clauses that override existing protections for LGBTI people and take us backwards, and not just for our community, but for women, for other groups as well. We need, the devil actually is in the detail.
It is in the detail, yeah.
So we need to make sure we get a copy of the legislation as soon as possible, and we keep talking to all sides of politics about the potential risks and the need not to hand religious organisations a licence to discriminate against LGBTI people and others. So that's what we'll be doing over the coming weeks. We've obviously just had a sitting week in Parliament, and the next, the Parliament's not due to sit again until September, but the government has flagged that it would like to legislate before the end of the year. And in the meantime, we also have another process. The Australian Law Reform Commission is looking into exemptions, and you know, this comes out of a big debate last year around the ability of religious schools to discriminate lawfully, which is quite shocking, against students and also teachers if on faith grounds. So we need to make sure we're doing everything we can to wind back those exemptions and make sure teachers and students can be safe from harm at school as well.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right, Anna. And it's interesting, and without doing too much of a plug, on the Informer we had a chat to Mark Spencer, who is the National Policy Director of Christian Schools Australia, which is a very conservative group, but he actually said that their schools don't want the right to have an exemption to fire LGBTI teachers and students. Like, I think some of the ways in which certain media organisations have covered this debate and represented the views of religious people. Like, I've spoken to Catholic principals and, you know, Anglican chaplains at schools. Very, very few people seem to be saying they actually want or need that exemption, and that if anything, that has been a really toxic distraction from some of the other issues where we actually agree on. So it seems like often the most extreme voices are being given the biggest microphones in this debate sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Toby, and there's so many more affirming voices from faith communities that actually do support LGBTIQ people, and they need to be heard in this debate as well. So often dominated by conservative Christian voices. And let's not forget about Muslim people and Jewish people and some really marginalised religious communities that, you know, when it comes to people of faith suffering discrimination in Australia, like, Islamic communities actually bear the brunt of a lot of prejudice and discrimination. So getting those voices out there and making sure that we build the understanding from all parts of the community about the need for everyone to be protected equally from discrimination. And, yeah, that does mean we need some reform to our laws, but making sure it's reported in a sensible and balanced way is very important. So well done doing that, doing some of that on the show today.
Great. We've run out of time, Anna. As always, great to talk to you. Keep up the good work. It's not easy, I know, but I know you'll stick to it. We'll talk to you again soon, and I hope you have a nice Saturday.
Yeah, thank you. And just while I'm here, I just encourage everyone to sign a petition that we've got going, which is calling for the government to consult with our communities and also women's organisations and people from multicultural communities about the legislation and make sure they don't hand a licence to discriminate to religious organisations. So that's available on our website at equalityaustralia.org.au.
We'll make sure we tweet that out, Anna.
We will. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Okay.
Bye.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.